It's a schuss and an honor to be here today, as I say every week. One of the highlights of my week is to be with you and to talk Divrei Torah. And this week's Parsha, Parsha's Pinchas, we have all Klal Yisrael together, Eretz Yisrael and America. We're all reading the same exact Parsha. And we're going to do like we always do. We're going to ask a couple of questions, and then we're going to come out with that major yisod, that major foundation point that we could bring into our lives. This week's Parsha, the Parsha is so rich, so many events. There's so much to talk about, but again, we have to pick and choose. The Torah starts in this week's Parsha, picking off from last week, from Parsha's Balak, about Pinchas. Pinchas getting involved and being the man. And now the Torah continues and it says, Parak Chafhei Posuk Yud Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Lemor. Hashem speaks to Moshe, Pinchas ben Elozar ben Aaron HaKohen, Heshiv Eschamasi. Pinchas, the son of Elozar, the son of Aaron the Kohen, is going, he's going to take my wrath, Me'al B'nei Yisrael, from upon the children of Klal Yisrael, Bekanoe Kinasi, when he zealously avenged my vengeance. Wow! Besocham, Velo Kilisias B'nei Yisrael Bekinasi. And Klal Yisrael was going to be consumed, and they weren't destroyed. Lachein emor, and therefore I say, Hineni nosein lo ebrisi shalom. So therefore, I'm going to give him the covenant of peace. Wow, Gevaldik, the parsha of Pinchas. Pinchas takes matters into his own hands, and a very fascinating Gemara. Rashi brings right away in the first Rashi in the parsha that the Shvatim were being mevazeh him. They were humiliating him and saying, look, you're the son of Puti. You're the son of Yisro. Your ancestry goes all the way back. You did Avodah Zarah. And the Gemara even goes far as saying, the Gemara in Sanhedrin Pebeis, that the Malachim were saying, this guy, Pinchas, such a great guy, Pinchas. Come on, look what he did. He killed someone. He used this midah of killing. And they said, oh, he's not so great. And Hashem says, no, he is great. What's this give and take? Why did the Shvatim take on Pinchas? Why did they think he was wrong? Even the Gemara says that Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't sure, but Pinchas is saying, I'm telling you, I'm taking matters into my own hands. Right? Shout out to my Uncle Gedalia, it's his bar mitzvah parsha. Parsha's Pinchas. Ah, juiced up parsha. And furthermore, ask the great Nitziv, ask all the great Achronim, you go and you get, what do you get? You get the peace prize. You just killed a lot of people. And you took matters into your own hands, you became the warrior of the day. And what's your reward? You're the man of peace. What? You're not the man of peace. Okay, you saved the day. Of course, Pinchas, unbelievable, which we'll talk about. But you're the man of peace. Doesn't make sense. Why is that the response? Why is that what he got? Brisi Shalom. Question one. Question two. Again, there's so much in this week's parsha. We have the Bnei Slavchad getting the Yerusha. They're saying it's not fair. Our father didn't have any sons. And now we should get the Yerusha. We have Yoshua taking over, taking the reins. And then we have the Karbanos. We have so much to do. But even before that, in Cheney, it says in Parakhav Vav Pasuk Hei, it's talking about that they're making another, they're counting Su'ez Rosh Kol Adas B'nei Yisrael. And then, when we're counting all the tribes, it says a very interesting lashon. It says in Pasuk Hei, Reuven B'chor Yisrael B'nei Reuven, Chanoch Mishpachat HaChanochi. Reuven, the firstborn, the son of Reuven, Chanoch HaChanochi. So Rashi picks up, why does it have to say HaChanochi? Why a hey and then a yud at the end? What are you trying to say? So says Rashi, very fascinating. Rashi, he doesn't need my acknowledgement. He's Rashi, but very interesting. Ma elu misyachsim al shivteyem. Why are we giving the ancestry of the tribes sevurim heim? They were under the impression, shelo shaltu ha-mitzrim b'moseyem. Come on, the Mitzrim did whatever they want to the Jewish slaves. Of course they did whatever they want to the women. And begufam hayu moshlim kavachomer b'nisusayim. If they did to the men whatever they wanted, of course they were able to do. Lefichach, therefore Hashem says, Hitzil HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shemo Aleihem, Hei Mitzad Zeh, the Yud Mitzad Zeh. So therefore Hashem says, no. I'm going to give you a Hei in the beginning of your name, and a Yud at the end to show that nothing happened. You are, there's good lineage, the Mitzvah did not do whatever they wanted, and everything happened appropriate, there's nothing wrong. And a couple questions just on this idea. Why is it a hey and a yud? We know that the Gemara tells us in Brachos and Daf Gimel, Yehei Shmei Rabba, make Hashem's name great. How great when we, right, great, the Gemara in Brachos says, you have Kavona for Yehei Shmei Rabba. Wow, the worlds are going to be opened up. But Yehei is usually yud and then the hey. So why over here is it hey and then yud? What's it about? And furthermore, we know Levi didn't have a Sheba, and still, if you look in the Torah, further on, it says a yud and a hey. What's the message here? What's the message? Question three. We know that we had a Shavuos B'Tammuz, in the middle of Shavuos B'Tammuz, and we know a lot of things. Gemara tells us in Tainis, Mishnah, Chavov, Amud Beis, tells us that a couple of things happened on, five things happened on Shavuos B'Tammuz, five things happened on Tisha B'Av, and it says, B'Shavuos B'Tammuz, Nishvu Halucho. So last week we spoke about when Kali Yisrael did Chet HaEgel, and they messed up, and they didn't wait, they didn't have patience, and they just jumped to conclusions. Chaim Shulevitz he spoke about the idea of Nishmar Aluchos. And then it says something very interesting. It says, Uboto HaTomid. And the Tomid carbon was Mevato. Now, that's related to this week's Parsha. Oh, the Torah is always, first of all, usually in the beginning of the 3 weeks, the first Parsha is usually always Pinchas. And we know that this week's laning at the end talks about all of the karbanos. And the famous karbon is the Tumid. Now, if I were to ask you a very interesting question, you can't answer it because I'm recording myself and no one's here. But if I would ask you and you would have a dialogue with me, I'd say, listen, if you didn't know this medrash, you would tell me probably some of the other possibilities. But if I were to ask you, what is the most important pasuk in the Torah? So, you probably say, I don't know, Shema Yisrael. So guess what? That's the opinion of Ben Zoma. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Then comes along Ben Nanis. And again, this medrash is not really found anywhere. I had zchus that I was able to work past couple summers. I had to take a little detour this summer, but God willing, we have to dive in hard. All the corona stuff finishes soon, God willing. But I once heard from Sobolovsky, one of the great Rosh Yeshivas, Rabbi Chana. Sobolovsky said that this, we don't find this medrash only quoted in the Ein Yaakov. Who is the Ein Yaakov? So the Ein Yaakov was Yaakov ibn Chovid. He lived in the years 1460 to 1516. Now I'm not trying to, I just looked it up. Halavai, I should know so much. Listen, Jewish history is amazing. Right? Jewish history is great. Give a shout out to my good friend Elon. He always says, I like the Jewish history. Right? And my mother, she always says, it's good, the Jewish history. People have to know when they live. Right? So Jewish history is very important. But I remember once I was giving a shiur in Rabbi Weinshul last year, feels like 80 years ago already. Last year, and I was in the middle of talking, and I think I quoted the Rambam. And usually, like, I have either notes or whatever, and I have it on the side. But I wasn't sure exactly the dates that he lived. I think it was Rambam and Rabbeinu Bechai, and I wasn't sure exactly. While I was speaking, I'm like, should I give the dates? I'm like, all I need right now is to give the wrong dates. And this is like Rabbi Weinshul, he's like the historian of the world. So like, all I need is like a person to like get up in the shul and be like, no, Rabbi Bloom, that's not true, that's not what he lived. So I decided not to quote the date of the Rambam.
Baruch Hashem, because I wouldn't accept the Rebbeinu B'chai. Okay, whatever. But it's important to know the dates of these great, great rabbis, these great leaders. So this great rabbi wrote the Ein Yaakov. And he actually wrote it in 1492 when the Jews were expelled from Spain. And he went and he went and he hid. And he was able, he was given the ability to go and sit in the library. I'm going to mess up on his name. You could Google it. Salomon Ben Vististi. Maybe that's what it is. And he just sat and he had the whole library together. They didn't have so many smart back then. And he compiled the Ein Yaakov. And the Ein Yaakov was all the Agadah to Gemaras. And he wrote Perushim of all of Shas and Yerushalmi. And then his son took over after. It's unbelievable. People like 100 years ago would just have Shirim just on the Ein Yaakov. So the Ein Yaakov quotes this Medrash in the beginning. And he says, you know what the most important pasuk in the Torah is? This week's Parsha. Ooh, and it's related to Maseches Tainis at Shavuos V'Tammuz that we're in the middle, we just finished. That the most important pasuk is the pasuk of the Tamid. V'sakev esecha taseh ba'boker, right? This idea of the Tamid. And it's very interesting. Olas ha-Tamid. Because then the next pasuk, it says in pasuk Chavches, pasuk Vav, Oilos Tamid Haso Bahar Sinai. We'll call it 3B. Yeah, I know. We're doing a lot of questions. It's late already. We have to get to these sites. But I saw in Rabbi Fran Sefer, and they quote in different Svarim, that why are you referencing in the Tamid, right? We have two karbanas that we offer every day. The Tamid Shel Shachar and the Tamid Shel Ben Arbayim. The Gemara tells us, we know Brachos Chavov, that we do Shacharis, Tamid Shel Shachar, Machlokas, is it because of the Avos? Is it because of Avim Yitzchak and Yaakov? Or is it because of the Karbanos? Tamid Shel Shachar. But then all of a sudden it says, it quotes the puzzle, Har Sinai. What does that have to Har Sinai have to do with the Tamid? Okay, so let's just review quickly. You have a lot of you, again, there's so much to do. Maybe we'll throw it in the middle, we'll see. But let's get it clear, because you've got to have these clear questions. Question one, Parshas Pinchas. What was going on? What did the Shvatim think? What did Pinchas, what was he doing? Why did he get Brisi Shalom? There's blood and murder and things going on. What? He got the Nobel Peace Prize. Doesn't seem what's going on. Question two is that it says, when we're counting the Shvatim, it says, Hachanochi, it says a hey and a yud, that Hashem is saying, I'm telling you right now that the Mitzvah didn't have their way with the women. And it's a hey and a yud representing. We ask, why a hey and a yud? It should be a yud and a hey. What's that all about? And the Levim also, but they weren't in the Sheba of Mitzrayim. What's going on? And question three, the big question, famous, why is the most important pasuk in the Torah the idea of Esakeves, Echad Taseh Baboiker, the idea of the Tamid? And how can we fix it up? We're in the 3 weeks now. We started, hopefully we're not going to have a Tisha B'Av. And how Parshas Pinchas is always involved in the 3 weeks. What could we do? How could we fix it up? So let's go slow. Let's go to question one. Let's try to build up the Yisod of what was going on with Pinchas. So Pinchas had such a love of the Ribbono Shel Olam. And he realized that he had to take matters into his own hands. The Netziv says beautifully that the reason why Pinchas needed to do it, and the reason why he got Brisi Shalom, it doesn't make sense, why are you getting Brisi Shalom, is because Pinchas had such a love for Hashem. And he saw at the same time that Klal Yisrael, they got affected. They got affected, they were involved at the end of last week's parsha, they were involved and they were getting killed. And Pinchas said, I need to take matters, I need to avenge, and I need to realize that what they're doing is not correct. But I'm doing it for one reason, I'm doing it because I love the Ribbono Shel Olam, I love Hashem, I love God. And the Shvatim didn't understand, they couldn't get it. Really? This guy? How come no one knows the halachas? That if, what should we do? Should a zealot kill this person that's involved in something immoral? Should he kill him or not? And they didn't know the halachas, they couldn't fathom, and someone wouldn't know the halachas. But since Pinchas had such a love for Hashem, there was nothing off. It was all for the Ribbono Shel Olam. And then he saved Klal Yisrael. He did two things. He showed that the Ribbono Shel Olam is the most important thing. God is the most important thing. And I need to do that. And when he did that, he showed that there has to be peace between Hashem and Klal Yisrael. So it makes perfect sense, Brisi Shalom. Although it looks like an act of murder, and it looks like he was being crazy, but he wasn't. He had the right intentions. Rav Gedalia Yeshua writes in Or Gedaliyahu, beautiful, Oavei Hashem Sinu Ra. Pinchas was a person that needed to take action. He couldn't just sit by and do nothing, because he had such a love of Hashem. And he says, I gotta do this for the Ribbono Shel Olam. I love him so much. I love him. And as a result, he brought Shalom. He brought peace for Klal Yisrael. He saved Klal Yisrael. And the great Meshech Chachma, now, no one's going to trust my dates, but I think they're right. You can look it up. The great Meshech Chachma lived in 1843 to 1926. Rav Meir Simcha of Divinsk says, that's shot in the Pasuk, that it says, why are we giving the whole lineage? Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen already said it. So no, says the Meshech Chachma, Pinchas ben Elazar. Elazar was last week's Parsha. He realized there was a civil war going on. He says, I got to take matters into my hands. And I have to avenge. I have to show that the Ribbono Shel Olam is the one in charge. Ben Elazar. But then we have Ben Aaron HaKohen. As we all know, Mishnah Pirkei Avos says, Aaron was a person, Oev Shalom Birode Shalom. He just ran after peace. So Pinchas was doing this for the right motives, for the Ribbono Shel Olam. Oave Hashem, he loved Hashem. And his ancestor was Aharon. Aharon, as Mishnah says, Parak Aleph, Mishnah Yibes, Oev Shalom, Virode Shalom. That's what the Pasuk is telling me. The Pasuk is lives, it says Meshchach, when the Pasuk is because Me'al B'nei Yisrael. And then I'm doing Brisi Shalom for Klal Yisrael and Hashem. And that's the idea. The idea of Pinchas is to take action. Again, it's hard. Sometimes I'm not telling everyone to, you know, go up and start doing things to people that are not listening to Hashem. But through your actions, not just being a passive player, but through your actions, showing the love to Hashem. Because that's what the Ribbono Shel Olam wants. He wants this relationship with us. What's the idea of Hachanochi? Why is it a Hey and then a Yud? Normally it's a Yud and then a Hey. The Gemara tells us in Sukkah that Hey represents Olam Hazeh and Yud represents Olam Haba. So when we refer to Hashem, the Ribbono Shel Olam, our God, we refer to Him as a Yud and a Hey. Because although we're physical beings, which we'll talk about in a second, we're physical beings, but we also want to be spiritual. We want Olam Haba. We have to realize that it's not just about this world, it's about the next world. We get caught up in this world a lot, because we're living in this world, and sometimes it's hard, we have difficulties. But it's for the Olam Haba. It's for the Yud. So we say right away, when I'm having a relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, Yehei Shmei Rabo! Wow, how great! How great Hashem is! The Gemara in Brachos Daf Gimel, Yehei Shmei Rabo, to have it with Kavano. How many times do we hear that in davening, Yehei Shmei Rabo? So we need to have the love for the Ribbono Shel Olam. But over here, it's Hachanochi. Why? Because Hashem says, you know what, when you were in Mitzrayim, you realize how bad Mitzrayim was. You realize that, and therefore obviously you stayed away from the Mitzrayim, they were disgusting, you stayed away. But now that you just had this whole incident with Midyan, and you realize that there could be znus, there could be immoral things that could drive a person crazy, and he could get involved in, you need to realize a Hey before the Yud. How are you going to pass these tests?
when you have a Mitzrayim, you know that they're wrong. You know they physically hurt us. The women made sure to stay away from those men. However, when you're involved in a Midyan, you need the hay before. When you're in the Olam Hazeh, you need to bring the Ribbono Shel Olam. And that's why it's even by Levi, even though Levi wasn't subjugated by the Mitzrayim, still, after a Midyan, after getting involved in immoral acts with women trying to seduce the Jewish men, you need the hay, the Olam Hazeh, this world, to say, I'm going to be protected. I'm going to bring Hashem into my life. The Ribbono Shel Olam is real. He's real with me. But I need that protection in Olam Hazeh. And then I'm going to get to the Olam Haba. That's why it's hey first. And then the Yud. What's going on? The most famous Pasuk. And we'll try to connect it to Shavuos HaBetamuz and the 3 weeks. So, a couple ideas of why is this Pasuk the most important Pasuk in the Torah. What's it all about? So when we don't have a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because Hashem loves us so much, and we have to really bring Him in, and it's not easy. A lot of things going on in this world, we have a lot of difficulties. Corona has, you know, still involved in the Corona, it's getting a little worse in Eretz Yisrael now. And we want to be mechazek ourselves, we want to strengthen ourselves. So I think the way to strengthen ourselves is from this pasuk. Because the first idea, which we've spoken about so much, and it's easier said than done. Anything I say is easier said than done. If you don't believe me, ask my kids. I told my kids last week I spoke about anger. Okay, you don't need to know what they said. Baruch Hashem, great kids, whatever. They are great. But the whole idea is that if I can't say chot haseh baboker, why? Because the most important thing is consistency. If a person gets consistent in his actions, good in a good way. Sometimes you get consistent in the bad way. But if you get consistent in a good way, that is so important. Just to get yourself up for davening. If there's minyanim going on, to get yourself in a minyan. To make limud haTorah consistent. To have a steady schedule, consistency. It's anything in life. If a person wants to lose weight, right, so I'm not going to sing my song now, but Rome wasn't built in a day. But it's about the consistency, always. Again, sometimes, you know, you go to the freezer, and the chocolate chips are there, and all of a sudden you have a little, and then it's done. Not that I know about that, but I do. And, but there's an idea of when you're consistent with your actions, that brings greatness. According to Rav Dessler writes in the Kudus HaBachira, that the whole essence of life, we have a whole shiur just on this whole idea, is that the essence of life is that I don't make choice, is that I have my things. It's not like every morning I'm waking up, do I go to shul? No, this is what I do. I want to move up the bar. I want to try to raise myself. If I'm learning an hour a day, I could go an hour and five. If I'm learning 5 minutes a day, I could go 10 minutes. If I'm speaking 20 minutes of Lashon Hara a day, but I'm speaking 20 minutes of Lashon Hara a day, I only speak 12. But you work on consistency. If you get consistency down, it's a game changer. Again, it's harder for others, or some people that's easier for them. So they're teva to be consistent, they're more organized, they're more straight. And there's some people that it's much harder for. However, every person, if they get consistent in a good way in their actions, so that's unbelievable. That's what the tumen, that's what the carbon tumen represents. That I'm trying to be consistent every day. Right? Give a shout out to Daf Yomi. Every day. Sometimes you miss a couple of days and you gotta catch up, and those are like the bad days. Right? But it's every day is that I'm learning the Daf, and the Daf is a lot. Then you do, and whatever it is, everyone has to know themselves. Speak to either the Rebbe or figure it out within themselves. But that's what it is, you know. Me watching my father do the Daf Yomi every day, finishing Shas a couple times, you know, watching my father-in-law just plowing through. It's consistency. And it's hard. It's not easy. But that's the most important. It's the most important pasuk. If I get consistent in my actions, That's one idea of this pasuk.
Another idea. What's a karban?
A karban represents an animal, slaughtering an animal. It's physical. But at the same time, although it's physical, it's also spiritual. The Beis HaMikdash, slaughtering an animal.
I don't want to scare myself. You know, the Gemara in Zvachim, at the end, Kufs, talk about how the blood is up to their knees. I'm a kite, so like, I don't want to talk about blood. I never passed out in the middle of a shiur. This would be a little really weird, because it would be in a recording. I probably hit the stop button, so you wouldn't even know. But yeah, I don't want to talk about blood. But I'm saying, there's a whole, unbelievable. You take the physical, and you take spiritual. So why, as a chemist, because Tomin, every day you brought that carbon, the carbon represents taking the spiritual and the physical and putting it together. That's another idea of why the Talmud is the most important thing. And another idea, there's a famous machlokes. It's not famous, I've got to make it famous now. Famous machlokes between the Rambam and the Ramban. The Rambam found in Hilchos Tamidin and Musafin. The Rambam says, we know that we have two carbon Talmuds. We have a carbon Talmud of Ben Shachar, and we have a carbon Talmud of Ben Arbayim. So if I were to ask you, how many mitzvahs are there? The Rambam says it's one. Comes along the Hilul Ramban at the end of the Sefer HaMitzvot, and he says, Rambam, you're wrong. It's not true. There's not only one mitzvah. There's two. There's a carbon in the morning, and there's a carbon at night. There's two carbonas. This is a similar machlokas about Kriyat Shema. When you say Kriyat Shema in the morning and Kriyat Shema at night, is it one mitzvah or two? Says the Ramban, it's two. Says the Rambam, it's one. Comes along Rav Soloveitchik, Rav Schechter quotes in Eretz HaTzvi. The Ramban has a very good... He's saying there's two mitzvahs. You say Kriyat Shema two times. Also on the Midah you say three, but two times. So what's the Rambam going to say to that? You're going to call that one mitzvah? It's not one mitzvah, it's two mitzvahs. So says Rav Soloveitchik, no. Perhaps they're really bookends. You have the mitzvah, it's a starting point, is in the morning. The end point is Ben Arbayim. It's the starting happens. You're right, we don't have the night carbon yet. The afternoon / night carbon yet. So it's not there yet, but it's a bookend. Because if you have a whole day of Avodas Hashem, you start off in the morning. Be mechazik myself, moda'ani. Some people say with kavana, some people don't say it at all. Some people, you start off the day, moda'ani Hashem. Wow, gave me life, I woke up today. And then you go to sleep in the bed, Kriyat Shema Lamita, and you have bookends. And obviously you have a lot of spirituality in the middle of those days, hopefully. But again, you have to do a lot of things during the day. But if you have those bookends, even the mundane, similar to the second idea, they also bring Kedusha. Because even when a person, he's doing whatever he has to do, but he could bring Kedusha into it. Just by eating something, a mundane act of eating something, you make a bracha. So there's bookends. That's why it's the most important, because you start the day with a Tamid Shel Shachar, and you end with Tamid Shel Ben Arbayim. You put the bookends. That's why Tamid is the most important pasuk. So this Yisod, how is a person going to become an Eved Hashem? Like a Pinchas. The Netziv says something amazing, and the Netziv even goes so far as saying that we know that the Sefer HaChinuch writes that acharei hapulos nimshach halvavos, after our actions, a lot of times the way we act affects our hearts. So it says in Netziv, Pinchas, he just killed. But still, Hashem says, I'm going to give you brisi shalom, because I know you did it for me. I know you love me. And I know, so acharei hapulos, I think right now that you might think that you're a murder, has to shalom, you did it for shalom, because you love me. And as we start the 3 weeks represent this idea that we lost the Tamid, we lost the Karbonus. The Gemara says that Sefer Torah was destroyed, Yerushalayim was besieged. This is the start of
of the tragedies, the Shavuos HaBetamos, and we know so much about it. And we want Mashiach. We want to get out of this gulf. We don't want another Tisha B'Av. 3 weeks from now, we want a holiday. And where are we going to get it from? From a Pinchas. The Medrash says, you know what Pinchas is? Pinchas is Eliyahu. Pinchas is Eliyahu. And we know that Eliyahu has three titles. He's Eliyahu HaNavi. Says at the end of Malachi, the last pasuk in Sefer Nevi'im. Very interesting. Malachi. Perek Gimel, pasuk Chav Beis. Zichru Torah Moshe Avdi. You should remember the Torah of Moshe, my servant. And then the pasuk says, Hinei Anochi Shaleach Lachem Es Eliyahu HaNavi. I'm going to bring you Eliyahu HaNavi. I'm going to bring you the Navi Eliyahu HaNavi. And the Medrash says that Pinchas is Eliyahu. And we need Eliyahu. Eliyahu represents Eliyahu HaTishbi. The Rambam writes that in this time, Eliyahu HaTishbi, that he wants to do tshuva. This is the time, the 3 weeks, is that we want to do tshuva. We want to better ourselves. Eliyahu HaTishbi and Eliyahu HaGiladi. We don't have the Beis HaMikdash. We don't have Gilad. We don't have, that's where the Sanhedrin. Eliyahu was part of the Sanhedrin. And we're missing the Sanhedrin. We're missing the Shekhinah. The Tamid was Nevato. There's no more Karbanos. We're missing the Shekhinah. So this is what Shavuos HaBetamos represents. And that's why Pinchas, we're reading it now. Because Pinchas tells us Eliyahu. This Gemara is all over Shas. Eliyahu was a physical person. Was he in the Shema? We know at every bris he comes to every bris. And we know he comes to the Pesach Seder. He's everywhere. Eliyahu. But now we need Eliyahu HaNavi. We need this pasuk to be fulfilled. Hinei Anochi Shaleach Lachem Es Eliyahu HaNavi. Lifnei Bo Hashem HaGadol VeHaNoiro VeHeshiv Lev Avos Al Habonim. We need to return to the Ribbono Shel Olam. As Pinchas taught us, Ohavei Hashem. I love you, Hashem. And we needed to show that we love the Ribbono Shel Olam. And the way we're going to show how we love Hashem is that we're going to take small things upon ourselves. Small things between you and the Ribbono Shel Olam. Small things. We're going to try to get more consistent in our actions with our davening, with our learning, with our gemilas chasadim, with controlling ourselves from lashon hara or from other things. We're going to strengthen ourselves. We're going to do tshuva, Eliyahu HaTishbi. Because this, Shavuos HaBetamos, because with these 3 weeks, we're going to turn it into a holiday, and that's our goal. But we shouldn't have a Tisha B'Av. Craziness is going on in this world. No one knows what's going to happen a week from now, 2 weeks from now. So many ups, so many downs. Everyone's going through different things. This is the time where we have to strengthen our emunah, strengthen through Ribbono Shel Olam. We have to bring the yud and the hey. We have to show that the Ribbono Shel Olam is part of our lives with all of our actions. Bezus Hashem, let's learn from the Pinchas. Let's learn from the most important pasuk in the Torah. Tamid, consistency, bring physical and spiritual together in the bookends, the Moda'ani and the Kriyat Shema Lamita, bringing Hashem into our lives in a very real way. Everyone should have an amazing Shabbos, and everyone should just keep on getting stronger and stronger. And Bezer Hashem, we're going to have the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash very soon.